News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative. Yep, just plain right. Hey, I want to continue on with Triple Dipper number one. Medal of Honor winners. They're all over your state, or they've been all over your state. You never know. Like I said, I keep saying, you don't know who's living sometimes like right next door. Who's your down the street neighbor? What did they do? Did you have any idea? The next one I want to talk about is a guy who has passed away fairly recently, but I had a chance to meet him before he did. Command Sergeant Major Benny Adkins. He was a Special Forces Master Sergeant at the time, or Sergeant First Class, actually, with Detachment Alpha 102 of the 5th Special Forces Group, 1st Special Forces, in March of 1966 in Camp A. Shaw in Vietnam. Here's his citation, which is a little bit longer than the others, so bear with me. Citation. Sergeant First Class Benny Adkins distinguished himself by acts of gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his own life above and beyond the call of duty while serving as an intel sergeant with Detachment Alpha 102, 5th Special Forces Group, during combat operations against an armed enemy at Camp A. Shaw, Republic of Vietnam, from March 9 through 12, 1966. When the camp was attacked by a large North Vietnamese and Viet Cong force in the early morning hours, Sergeant First Class Adkins rushed through intense enemy fire and manned a mortar position, continually adjusting fire for the camp, despite incurring wounds as the mortar pit received several direct hits from enemy mortars. Upon learning that several soldiers were wounded near the center of camp, he temporarily turned the mortar over to another soldier, ran through exploding mortar rounds, and dragged several comrades to safety. As the hostile fire subsided, Sergeant First Class Adkins exposed himself to sporadic sniper fire while carrying his wounded comrades to the camp dispensary. When Sergeant First Class Adkins and his group of defenders came under heavy small arms fire from members of the civilian irregular defense group that had defected to fight with the North Vietnamese, he maneuvered outside the camp to evacuate a seriously wounded American and draw fire, all the while successfully covering the rescue. When a resupply airdrop landed outside the camp perimeter, Sergeant First Class Adkins again moved outside the camp walls to retrieve the much-needed supplies, and during the early morning hours of March 10, 1966, enemy forces launched their main attack, and within 2 hours, Sergeant First Class Adkins was the only man firing a mortar weapon. When all mortar rounds were expended, Sergeant First Class Adkins began placing effective recoilless rifle fire upon enemy positions. Despite receiving additional wounds from enemy rounds exploding on his position, Sergeant First Class Adkins fought off intense waves of attacking Viet Cong. Sergeant First Class Adkins eliminated numerous insurgents with small arms fire after withdrawing to a communications bunker with several soldiers. Running extremely low on ammunition, he returned to the mortar pit, gathered vital ammunition, and ran back through intense fire back to the bunker. After being ordered to evacuate the camp, Sergeant First Class Adkins and a small group of soldiers destroyed all signal equipment and classified documents. They dug their way out of the rear of the bunker and fought their way out of the camp. While carrying a wounded soldier to the extraction point, he learned that the last helicopter had already departed. Sergeant First Class Adkins led the group to evade the enemy until they were rescued by helicopter on March 12th of 1966. During the 38-hour battle and 48 hours of escape and evasion, fighting with mortars, machine guns, recoilless rifles, small arms, and hand grenades, it was estimated that Sergeant First Class Adkins killed between 135 and 175 of the enemy while sustaining 18 different wounds to his body. Sergeant First Class Adkins' extraordinary heroism and selflessness above and beyond the call of duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of the military service and reflect great credit upon himself. Detachment Alpha 102, 5th Special Forces Group, 1st Special Forces, and the United States Army. So Sergeant First Class Adkins, then Command Sergeant Major Adkins, I met him a few years ago when he came to the Alabama State Capitol. He died in 2020, April of 2020. He is buried in Arlington National Cemetery. But he lived for the remainder of his life, mostly after Vietnam, I believe in the Auburn area. And he leaves a legacy behind in Special Forces. Can you imagine? He personally killed upwards of 175 of the enemy and sustained 18 different wounds over a constant 4 days of fighting, escape, and evasion. Command Sergeant Major Benny Adkins, Alabama. Folks, you have no idea who's living down the road from you. I'm going to keep saying it. I hope I'm not being too melodramatic for you, because the reality is you got to know, you got to appreciate, you got to bring honor to people who have done these things, because the fact that they did them is the reason why I'm able to have a platform today. the fact that our country is what it is and that people want to rush here to be in this country is because of people like Command Sergeant Major Benny Adkins and the others who I've read about today, like Colonel Ola Lee Mize. Because they go and they do, regardless of their own self, and at some form of selfless service, and usually at great risk to their own lives, they step up and they do things that no one can imagine and that really movies should be made about. In fact, movies have been made about the one that I'll read to you later. Private First Class Desmond Doss. You know him from the movie Hacksaw Ridge. But we'll come back to that one a little bit later in the show. All right, folks, it is Veterans Day. God bless you, veterans. And as we move forward in the show, I'm going to tell you right now, I got some of my favorite stuff coming up. At the top of the next hour, the Grand Council, my brethren Jeff Poor and my buddy Dale Jackson, all coming on the show to do the Grand Council. We do once a week. We ping each other with conservative questions and see what kind of conservative answers we can get. And in the next half hour, coming up after this new break we're about to take, I'm going to be digging into what's happening with our economy. Where is inflation right now? And how does it impact your ability to buy and do the things you have to do with the paycheck that feels a little bit smaller, even though technically it might not be? All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. Veterans Day, thank you to all our veterans out there. God bless you. We appreciate the fact that you are so much of what our society needs and has benefited from over the years. Your time and service, ladies and gentlemen, is not unappreciated. And so on this day, we honor you and appreciate all that you do. Hey, listen, I want to just quickly tell you about my friends at etaxbreaks.com. So this is pretty cool. I mean, can you imagine having a gig like where your whole job was just to find people money? I mean, what kind of a job is that? Hello, I'm your friend, and I found you some money. That is very cool. That's what they do. They got 23 years of experience. I know these folks personally, and they literally just come and they check out your business. I say come. They just you fill out the application, and they start scanning real quick. There's like over 3,000 programs around the nation that, based upon some of the things you do as common sense to run your business, may bring money to you, like in your pocket. They can wipe out your tax liability. They can even go back and get you tax refunds, tax credits, tax incentives, grants, things like that for who you hired, where you put your business. Did you keep your business open during the pandemic? Did you survive a natural disaster? Yada, yada, yada. It's amazing. And they only get paid if they find you money. How cool is that? No risk. They only get paid if they find you money. Check them out, etaxbreaks.com. They got a special landing page just for our Right Side listeners, etaxbreaks.com/Right Side. etaxbreaks.com/Right Side. All right, so I'm going to move to the next thing on the Triple Dipper, because coming up top of the hour, we're going to have my brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson coming on for the Grand Council. So between now and then, let's talk a little bit about spending. You know, I don't know if you've noticed it or not. If you go to the grocery store, go to the gas pump, just go buy yourself a magazine. Things cost a little more, it seems like, than they did before. And sometimes it just feels like your dollar doesn't go near as far. Guess what? That's the truth. Right now, inflation has just hit another high. Get this. This boggles my mind. Real average hourly earnings have actually decreased 0.5% for the month, because we saw a 9% increase in inflation. Even though we saw a slight increase in wages, we saw more of an increase, more than twice that increase in inflation, which means it's just like you got 0.5% less in pay. That's basics of economics there, but the reality is what we're looking at here is we are seeing top-line inflation for the month went up almost a full percentage point again. We are now at, 6.4%, I believe, inflation. This is a record high. And what that does is, even if you've seen a somewhat of an increase in your income, let's say you saw a 2 to 3% pay raise. Great. That's awesome. What if you got 6% inflation? Oh, that means basically you got a pay increase, but it doesn't feel like it because your dollar doesn't go near as far. And this is happening, by the way, now in the Biden administration. It is their spending. It is their, you know, fiscal policies that are creating this dynamic. Now, it's COVID, Phil. It's COVID doing this. Don't try and blame it on Biden. I got news. I can blame it on Biden. You know why? Number one, he's in charge, allegedly. Number two, he continues to throw money worthlessly into the economy, which devalues the current dollar. He continues to go for big spending bills. He continues to do things that jam up the supply chain. He continues to pay people not to work. Do not tell me for a second that our economic situation is not because of this current administration, because it was not like this in the pandemic under the Trump administration. We were on the way out of it. And then Biden took office, and next thing you know, inflation goes through the roof. So I'm looking at a storyline right now. Where was that last one? That last one I was reading there was from CNBC. This one is just a brief blurb on Fox. No, I'm sorry, about Newsmax. Newsmax storyline yesterday. Ted Cruz slams Biden on inflation. So you can imagine they do this. But if you look at the data, you can't help but go, yep, I get it. Senator Cruz, you're right. So he places the blame, like I just did a moment ago, on Joe Biden for crisis after crisis in the economy. According to the Labor Department here, Newsmax is citing, the consumer price index jumped 0.9% last month after going up another 4% in September. It's the largest gain in 4 months. Whew. We're at 6.2%. I said 6.3. We're at 6.2% increase in the consumer price index. It's the biggest year-on-year rise since 1990. Folks, what we're saying here is we're seeing a greater rate of inflation than we've seen in over 30 years. And it's not just because of the pandemic. Pandemic didn't help. Pandemic didn't help. But it's not something you can place on that. Inflation pressures are brewing, this Newsmax article says, in the labor market, where an acute shortage of workers is driving wages higher. So there you go. But then when wages go higher, they have to make up for it by passing the price along to the consumer. And then you've also got the fact that the number of Americans filing claims for unemployment benefits fell, but that means that there's people trying to figure out what they're going to do next. Meanwhile, gas prices are going up because we're not energy independent anymore, and on and on and on. And Cruz says Joe Biden is responsible for this crisis. And in Biden's America, your paycheck is worth less and you owe the government more. Yep, I agree. So how does this all come together? I mean, what are the things he's spending money on? I mean, what is happening that we should be looking at that impacts our day-to-day? Well, how do I choose? I've got all these storylines here. Am I going to have time to get this? So I'll tell you what, let me do this. I'll skip the one on the defense budget for a minute that came off of Just Security. Let me move to this one right here that I pulled off Fox Business. So you know those spending bills I've got in D.C. right now? And by the way, if you want to see something devalue the current dollar, throw money in the economy. Just start printing more money and throw it in there. Just undermine the value of the dollar. Just throw it in there. That's what they're doing. So they just passed the so-called bipartisan infrastructure bill, right? That's when 13 House Republicans defected to go give a win to the Democrats and help Nancy Pelosi last Friday, I believe it was, in the wee hours of the night, pass the infrastructure bill. $1.25 trillion. $1.25 trillion with a T dollars. Well, now they're back to working on that super duper wish list of progressive liberal things that are in the other one that they're calling the reconciliation bill. So two separate bills. Infrastructure bill passed. President Biden was due to sign it today, as a matter of fact. So that is passed. That is in the law. They're going to spend that money, and it's going to have all kinds of stringers attached to it. And it's got all kinds of things in there for green energy, and it's got all kinds of things they're going to do to start creating I don't know, green energy military vehicles and low emission standards, and just it's unbelievable. It's not just roads and bridges, y'all. It's all kinds of stuff. But in the course of that, they have the other bill. Nancy Pelosi got a little ahead of herself. She went to Scotland and got a little excited. Apparently, she was there feeling the moment. And even though they have not even gotten this thing passed, the one of the $3.25 trillion spending bill, the reconciliation bill, she stood up and said, "We're here to report on what we've done," she said. "What we've done?" Referring to the several trillion-dollar Build Back Better bill. And she says, first of all, I'm going to read this to you. And then you just, you know, if you want to send me an interpretation of what it means, okay. She says, "It recognizes the interconnectedness of climate change and gender justice, and enables women and girls to lead a just transition to clean energy economies of the future." Whatever. In other words, you're spending a whole lot of money for a whole lot of social progressive gobbledygook. When asked why she listed these agenda items, I know, hang in there, copper, just bear with it. When asked why she listed these agenda items in a discussion of what we have done, so to speak, Pelosi pointed to the progress that House members have made on the bill. In other words, yeah, we haven't done it. I was just talking about how much progress we've made. That's what you meant. Sure. Okay. Well, what's in that bill? Oh, what's in it? Oh, let's talk about that, shall we? Yes, we shall. It was originally $3.5 trillion. Keep that in mind. It's now been whittled down to just $1.75 trillion. That's all. Just $1.75 trillion. Spread out over a decade. However, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, is saying, be careful. There's a lot of tricks in here. Joe Manchin is saying the same thing. What they've done is they say it's going to stop spending at a certain point because they're putting what's called a sunset provision on a number of these liberal policies. Well, sunset provisions can be changed, y'all. A sunset provision means that whatever they're doing in the bill is supposed to end on a date certain. But everybody knows that once government gets started on something, good luck unwinding it. And so the likelihood that it would just be extended is very real, meaning that the expenditures would far and away exceed the $1.75 trillion they've got in there for things like, you ready? Fighting climate change. That's right. As written right now, the plan would cut more than a gigaton of greenhouse emissions by 2030, a roughly 50% reduction. How are they going to do this? Well, tax credits for Americans buying new electric vehicles. This is from CBS News. I think CBS is forgetting the fact that the tax credit goes as long as you buy one from a union factory. I'm not kidding. That was in the bill. Manchin also objected to this, saying that clean energy electricity performance programs shouldn't have to be augmented by the federal government. I agree. Things like child care and universal pre-K, $400 billion. Medicare expansion. Well, you can imagine that's just a government entitlement program that's going to wind up expanding to cover more and more. And next thing you know, you're going to have a single-payer system. Extended child tax credits. Get this. Democrats expanded the child tax credit for 2021. That's right. You can get upwards of $3,600 per child mailed to your house. Wow, just paying you for having kids. Where was that money when my kids were growing up? We raised them without it. How about that? With hardly anything to our name. How about the fact that it has a framework providing $150 billion to build or improve more than 1 million new affordable housing units? That's called government housing. Thank you very much. What about the fact that it has $100 billion in it to reform the nation's immigration system, which has already been struck down once by the CBO, I believe. And now they're looking at doing it again. Folks, I'm just telling you, inflation is through the roof. Biden is to blame. Your paycheck may have gone up slightly, but inflation is negating the ability for you to see the benefit of that pay raise. Meanwhile, they continue to print money and spend it on things that no one's really asking for except the most liberal of their base. And they're already acting like they've got it done. Nancy Pelosi's touting it as this thing that we've done when she goes to see internationals in Scotland. All right, move us towards that break, Copper. We got to head there. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. I got another Medal of Honor winner that I'm going to tell you about here because it's Veterans Day. And then top of the hour, yep, I'm going to the Grand Council. Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, Phil Williams, the Grand Council. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Number one of the Triple Dipper today is the Medal of Honor. And I chose to do this today. It's Veterans Day, and I've been interspersing throughout the entire show the reading of certain citations for the Medal of Honor for a number of the over 33 or so Medal of Honor winners or awardees here in the state of Alabama. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, I keep saying it, but I mean this. Take a look at who lives around you. Who's in your neighborhood? Who is that hanging out down at the VFW? Who is that on the other pew at church? Who's that woman or that man in the fast food line? And you don't know what they've done. And then you recognize that they're wearing a certain hat or something that shows that they're a veteran. Thank them for it. I'll never forget, soon after I got back from... which tour was it? I think it was Iraq. It was Afghanistan. I got back from Afghanistan, and one of the other guys in my unit and I just happened to, we were still in uniform, and we happened to go to just like a local Burger King. And there was an older gentleman in line there, and he turned around, he saw us wearing our desert BDUs or desert camouflage, and he asked if we just gotten back, and we said we had. And I saw his hat. He was wearing a hat. He was an older man. He was wearing a hat that said 8th Air Force. Well, the 8th Air Force in World War II was legendary. And I asked him about it. I said, did you serve in the 8th? He said, I did. And he told us, he said, I'll never forget. He said, I was a 19-year-old in charge of a B-17 bomber. He said, I know 19-year-olds these days shouldn't have a driver's license. There I was flying that plane. He flew it on a number of missions to include a mission at Schweinfurt, in which he said they lost 70 B-17s in one raid. 70. Each one of them had a crew of 10. He said, that's 700 men that didn't come home that day. And I'm telling you, people like that are amazing. And there he was in Burger King. Well, the next one I'm going to read to you lived in Piedmont, Alabama. And I hope I can get through this while I still have time. Desmond Doss. They named the movie Hacksaw Ridge, but the movie was about his story. If you recall, he was a conscientious objector. He did not want to carry a weapon, but he was not a coward. He was a private first class in World War II, serving with the 307th Infantry in the medical detachment of the 77th Infantry Division. He was a medic. Here's a citation. As a company aid man, the 1st Battalion assaulted a jagged escarpment 400 feet high. As the troops gained the summit, a heavy concentration of artillery, mortar, and machine gun fire crashed into them, inflicting approximately 75 casualties and driving the others back. PFC Doss refused to seek cover and remained in the fire-swept area with the many stricken, carrying them one by one to the edge of the escarpment, and they're lowering them on a rope-supported litter down the face of the cliff to friendly hands, by himself, by the way. On the 2nd of May, he exposed himself to heavy rifle and mortar fire in rescuing a wounded man 200 yards forward of the lines on the same escarpment. And 2 days later, he treated 4 men who had been cut down while assaulting a strongly defended cave, advancing through a shower of grenades to within 8 yards of the enemy forces in a cave's mouth, where he dressed his comrades' wounds before making 4 separate trips under fire to evacuate them to safety. On 5 May, he unhesitatingly braved enemy shelling and small arms fire to assist an artillery officer. He applied bandages, moved his patient to a spot that offered protection from small arms fire, and while artillery and mortar shells fell close by, he painstakingly administered plasma. Later that day, when an American was severely wounded by fire from a cave, PSC Doss crawled to him where he had fallen 25 feet from the enemy position. He rendered aid and carried him 100 yards to safety while continually exposed to enemy fire. On May 21st, in a night attack on a high ground near Cherie, he remained in exposed territory while the rest of the company took cover, fearlessly risking the chance that he would be mistaken for an infiltrating Japanese. He gave aid to the injured while he was himself seriously wounded in the legs by the explosion of a grenade. And rather than call for another aid man from cover, he cared for his own injuries and then waited 5 hours before litter bearers could reach him and start carrying him to cover. The trio, though, was caught in an enemy tank attack, and PFC Doss, seeing another man more critically wounded than he, crawled off the litter and directed the bearers to give their attention to the other man. Awaiting the litter bearer's return, he was again struck, this time suffering a compound fracture of one arm, and with magnificent fortitude, he bound a rifle stock to his own shattered arm as a splint and crawled 300 yards over rough terrain to the aid station. Through his outstanding bravery and unflinching determination in the face of desperately dangerous conditions, PFC Daw saved the lives of an estimated 75 soldiers. No wonder they made a movie about him. I'm just telling you. Died in the year 2006 in Piedmont, Alabama, buried now in Chattanooga. Folks, the Medal of Honor is something to be revered, and you've got a bunch of them from your own state right here in Alabama. Yeah. Yep, we raise them right in Alabama. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back after this with the Grand Council, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and myself. You hang on.